I'm a Democrat, and I'm running for President of the United States. My voting history shows that I've done everything I can to support our minority groups. I want to end the war against illegal immigration, because, after all, they're citizens too. However, my opponent rejects the idea of such acceptance. He's even been seen stopping Hispanics in the street and accusing them of being illegal. From drafting legislation to give free food stamps and welfare, to personally distracting the Border Patrol for easier passage, I am truly here for the people. And yes, it's true that I voted in favor of funding for Planned Parenthood. I not only advocate, but promote a woman's right to have an abortion. In fact, last week I personally aborted an entire class of third graders. Yet your Republican nominee has been seen at abortion clinics, yelling at rape victims, telling them it was the will of God to bear their child. He has no respect for anyone who isn't also a rich white man, whereas I will give you all free health care, free food, and free abortions. Myself. He forces his religion on an entire nation, whereas I oppose religion in school and in the home. He tries to portray a healthy marriage, but we all know that's really his sister. On November 6th, vote for a strong woman fighting for you, not an inbred Texan with a spoon-fed Harvard degree and stupid.
I'm your Democratic candidate, and I approve this message. Funded by Tampon, the American Minority Political Outreach Network.
Rob Stark. He's the biggest celebrity in the North. But his father was a traitor. He arrested his own mother. His bastard brother deserted the Night's Watch. And he couldn't defend his own castle. Worst of all, Rob Stark hasn't stopped the wildlings from invading our lands and taking our jobs. He even has an illegal alien for a nanny. And now he wants to be king in the North? King? Some people say he's really a wolf. Some people say he eats dead people. We can't wait until it's too late. Send a raven to Winterfell now and tell Rob Stark to go back home. Stop eating dead people and defend the damn wall.
This ad paid for by Crossbows GPS.
Daenerys Targaryen. She says she is the mother of dragons. But would you trust her with your kids? Her father was a maniac. She palled around with Dothraki terrorists. She asked the city of Karth for a government bailout. Then she lost three baby dragons after placing them in an unlocked wooden box. An unlocked wooden box. This Khaleesi wants to be queen of the Seven Kingdoms, but can she be trusted? Daenerys Targaryen. Wrong for dragons. Wrong for the realm.
Paid for by the Committee to Protect Dragons.
We don't know anything about him.
He was never really vetted.
Is he really the true-born son of Robert Baratheon?
All over the Seven Kingdoms, people are asking the same question. Who is the real King Joffrey? The people of Westeros are hurting. Winter is coming. Crop yields are falling, and the price of fuel is going up.
The cost of peat moss is through the thatched roof.
And this young and inexperienced king takes advice from a whoremongering imp and has launched an illegal war in the north? What is King Joffrey hiding? This is not our kind of family values. King Joffrey, what a bastard.
What a bastard.
Paid for by the Young Baratheons for Freedom.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. We leave no warrior behind. Wounded Warrior Project is a nonprofit organization created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war. Whether those scars are physical or mental, we're here to make sure that they heal. And whether it's helping those with post-traumatic stress disorder live a normal life again, or giving much-needed support to injured warriors and veterans hospitals, because no one deserves our help more than the men and women who risk their lives to keep us safe. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
The following letters were written by our troops.
My dear fellow Americans, I truly appreciate your support. I was starting to wonder if people had forgotten about us over here, but then one of my buddies showed me this website, and now as tears are streaming down my face, I can see for sure that you haven't. Private Emily B., U.S. Army.
It's so heartwarming to see the American people not letting the men and women of the armed forces be forgotten. Your letters make a group of grown men, battle-hardened and gruff, act like a bunch of kids around a Christmas tree. Thanks. Staff Sergeant Matthew H., U.S. Army.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
Coming to you live from my bunkerized home studio somewhere within the great Granite State of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. It is Thursday, March the 25th in the year of our Lord 2015, as we march on, it is Wednesday, March the 25th. Boy, I'm a day ahead of myself, it looks like, huh? You know, the week has just been going by really fast. But anyway, the number that you can call is 646-649-0004. That's 646-649-0004. If you wish to join me here live and speak to me, or if you wish to just listen to the show, make sure that you are here tomorrow for a major announcement. I'm talking huge. It's going to be huge. Yeah, it's a huge announcement tomorrow coming up. And it affects me. It affects the show. And it affects you, the listener. So you're definitely not going to want to miss tomorrow's grand announcement. Right now I'm sitting in the bunkerized home studio, and outside there is precipitation. Yes, there is precipitation, but that precipitation is not in the form of snow. So I am very happy. I am ecstatic for that. You know, let it rain. Hopefully it doesn't rain too much because, you know, we have a lot of the snow has already melted. It's been melting slowly, and because it was so cold, a lot of the snow that did fall, the feet of it, a lot of it was the lighter, fluffier, puffy type of snow, which does not contain a lot of water. So that has alleviated a lot of fears of flooding so far. Now, that does not mean, because there was a lot of snow, It doesn't mean that later on when the April rains begin that we will not have flooding. And I do hope that it is April rain and not April snow. Well, we'll just have to wait and see, like everybody else. You know, I have to wait and see. But you know, the wonderful people at the Environmentalist Wacko Groups, they're kind of beside themselves. They're trying all kinds of ways to keep the fire, if you will, alive about man-made global climate change, man-made global warming. And people are, you know, they keep doing these polls. You know, and the poll numbers keep dropping. And they, you know, they try to get the polls where do people consider, you know, man-made climate change to be a priority. And when you start talking about the top five or the top 10, climate change doesn't appear. And that's almost across the board on all the polls, whether they be liberal polls or conservative polls. Those, or middle of the road, you know, supposedly middle of the road polls, it doesn't appear in the top 10. And when you start talking, we see sometimes these stories that Americans believe in global warming. Well, actually, when you start looking at a lot of the polls, you start to see that the number of people that are being polled that believe that there is man-made or man-caused climate change is dropping. And it's dropping for two reasons. One, because the facts are leaking out. You know, slowly, we're getting them. Those of us who do not believe in man-made climate change are getting the science out there, out to the public. And two, people are actually experiencing it. You know, they kept being told, well, you know, the year 2000 was not only going to be a calamity for, you know, computers, but it was going to be a calamity for weather. Didn't happen. Either one didn't happen. And then, you know, of course, you know, we had Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth that made predictions. None of those predictions came true so far. We've had the UN and their different organizations that reported on climate, making predictions and saying this was going to happen and that was going to happen. Again, didn't happen, didn't come to pass. So all of this stuff that people are seeing, they're witnessing and they're experiencing and living, you know, they're not seeing the dire consequences come to pass from so-called man-made climate change. And now, because of this, we're starting to see them talk about climate change in decades out again. And I warned you, but I told you about this early in the week, that whenever you're trying to make a dire prediction, well, they want to put it at a point where most of us are probably not going to be alive, or if we're alive, we're going to be so old and probably not coherent and cognizant of what's happening in our surroundings that it won't matter. So they're tugging at our hearts, trying to tug at our heartstrings again by telling us, okay, there's going to be worldwide environmental calamity in the year 2050. There is going to be worldwide environmental calamity in the year 2100. Well, I can almost guarantee that nobody alive today. Well, yeah, I can't say anybody alive today, but I can. Adults, if you're over the age of 30, you are most likely, almost 99% sure, you're not going to be around in the year 2100. Now, that can change with medical science and the advances and things like that. They can start replacing worn-out stuff except for the brain. Maybe they'll be able to. But, you know, that's a good idea. Wasn't there a story not too long ago of somebody doing a head transplant, or at least attempting to do so? I got to be careful. That might not be a bad idea. Brain transplants of these liberals. You know, I kind of believe, I'm probably going to get in trouble for this, but maybe we should bring back shock therapy for radical liberals. Really, look, you know, liberalism I've heard a lot of people say that liberalism is a mental disorder. And I'm sorry, but I've come to believe that is an accurate assumption. It's unbelievable what these people will, the left accuses the right of being weak-minded because, you know, a lot of the right, a right-leaning, right-of-center people, they believe in a particular deity. You know, they believe in they don't believe in the traditional sense of evolution. They believe that there is an intelligent order to the universe and that there was an intelligent being or beings, at least, that created the universe or put everything in motion. They believe in God. They do not believe that this is all happenstance and it was just out of there is a big bang and all of a sudden, you know, over billions and billions of years, there's life everywhere. Most people don't believe that. The radical left does. And because they don't agree or believe the same way that most other cognizant beings believe, they think that we're weak-minded because we have faith in things that we can't unequivocally prove. You know, we can't really yet totally scientifically prove that there is a God or that there was an intelligent creator. Well, we have, you know, evidence that is the case. You know, we have scientific, we have mathematical evidence that is the case. And I've gone over that, umpteen times with you listeners about why I believe that macroevolution is not possible. But yet and still, they accuse me and people like me, you, that you're weak-minded. Yet, we can scientifically, without a doubt, prove that most of their beliefs are false. Yet they still believe. So they have greater faith than we on the right do. So I don't know. So if having faith is a sign of having a weak mind or having a demented or a twisted or a sick mind, well, then you know what? They're worse off than we are. And there needs to be some kind of treatment. And I think that shock treatment will probably do it. Shock treatment will probably help cure. Well, I don't know if it can cure it, but it couldn't hurt. Well, it might hurt them, but for the rest of us, it wouldn't hurt. If we turn their brains to mush by giving them shock treatment, it would save the rest of us an awful lot of headache, heartache, and pain, both physically, mentally, and financially. Really. So we have rain here, and there's no snow mixed in. It's not snow showers. It's just pure rain. So that's a good thing. But we're hoping that, you know, April is not too heavily, does not happen too heavy on the rain side, because there could be some flooding then. And of course, you know, if we do get a lot of rain, which we normally do during the month of April and, you know, the beginning of May, I'm sure that the wacko environmentalists will say that it's due to man somehow, some way. Speaking of that, I have a story. I have a story. Hey, listen, before I get into this story, let me just remind you that the new website is up. RodEccles.net. It is up, and it is updated after the show with everything. Basically, I try to update it with everything that is in my digital paper pile and, you know, in even my physical paper pile. After the show, probably within an hour after the show, it will be completely updated, and you can review everything yourself and see where I'm getting information, my information, and what I'm talking about. So I'm not talking out of my rear and just pulling like a rabbit out of the hat. This is real stuff I'm talking about. But getting back to the radical environmentalists, they're going to be upset. They're not going to be. They are upset. And this is from, actually, this from the strangest place. And this is how the lamestream media is so bad at actually covering real news, especially when it comes to the point of possibly harming the radical left and or the Obama administration. This next story that I found, believe it or not, comes from foodmanufacturing.com. I kid you not. I've never heard of it. I'm not surprised that the food manufacturing industry has its own website or association. But it's kind of interesting that they have this story out there, and it's not about them. So there's no way to say that, the left will probably try to do it. They paid that guy to say that. Well, this isn't coming from anywhere within the industry. This has to actually do with the federal government. In other words, the Barack Obama administration. The feds are under fire right now for mass killings of birds in Nevada. Landowners were surprised to discover tens of thousands of dead birds across the high desert are criticizing the federal government over mass killing of starlings in northern Nevada. Now, a U.S. Department of Agriculture spokesman said a pesticide was used to destroy the birds to prevent the spread of disease to dairy cows. So the Department of Agriculture either did it themselves, contracted it, or approved of spreading a pesticide that was used to kill birds. In order to do what? In order to prevent disease from spreading to what? Dairy cows. Now, you know that the left has got to be flipping out over this because, one, a lot of these leftists are vegetarians and they think that we're cruel to animals. Even it's evil and inhumane and all that kind of stuff to do things like that to cows, to take their milk, and to eat cow, steak, beef. Evil. We shouldn't do that. That's just cruel and inhumane. And we're more enlightened than that. But not only was the U.S. Agriculture Department, the Barack Obama administration's Department of Agriculture, they're actually out there spreading pesticides, chemicals. Again, a despot of the left, the chemical industry. They're spreading chemicals, pesticides, that kill another wonderful creature, a bird. But you're not hearing this in the lamestream media. I had to go to foodmanufacturing.com to get this story. Can you believe that? I mean, here we have, everybody talking about, we can't have windmills, electric producing windmills. What's the big reason for the left hating clean energy windmills? Well, it isn't because they're noisy and they literally do drive some human beings crazy. No, that's not the reason. The reason is because they claim windmills kill hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of birds a year around the world, especially here in the U.S. Well, look, there are nations that get derive more a greater percentage of their energy from so-called green sources like solar and wind than the United States. Spain and Germany come to mind. We don't hear the environmentalists, at least in this country, deposing and hating upon the Spanish and the Germans for this. But we try to build windmills here to try, hey, you want to go green? Go, okay, we're going to build windmills. No, 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 no. You can't build windmills. Why? Who could possibly be against a windmill? It's clean. It works. I mean, maybe it's not the most efficient source of green energy, but it works. They're fairly inexpensive. They don't necessarily have to take up a lot of land mass. You know, it's not like a solar field that takes up, you know, acres and acres and acres. It's a windmill, you know, it's a spot here, a spot there. It doesn't necessarily take up a lot of individual landmass to put up a windmill. And, you know, you can put windmills out in the ocean, in the water. And you can even put it over the horizon so you can't see it from the beach. And bring all that power back on land. But no, we're talking probably the greenest of green energies, almost. Well, maybe solar is even more green. But we're talking, you know, the earth, the wind is powering everything that we want to power. But we can't do it. Why? Because the radical left and the environmentalist wackos tell us that those windmills that they used to tout, by the way, that they used to say that we should build more of, by the way, that they used to say that this country should have windmills everywhere because it's clean, it's quiet, it's pure, it's all that kind of stuff. You know, it's not going to harm the environment. Now, all of a sudden, when the technology is available for us to be able to do it more efficiently and on a reasonable cost scale, now all of a sudden we're told no because they kill birds. And, you know, God forbid we kill a few seagulls. You know, seagulls and pigeons are considered to be, you know, the flying rats, basically. But, you know, you can't kill pigeons, even though they tend to be dirty, disgusting, and pollute. And you can't kill seagulls because they do the same thing. And, you know, Canadian geese, I mean, there are places in this country that are literally overrun with geese. In fact, you know, even in this state, and I'm sure many other states, they frequently test water, you know, that people use to recreate. And for those of you in Rush Limbaugh's Rio Linda, recreate, you know, like swimming, boating, fishing. They test these waters on a frequent basis in the summer because these migrant Canadian geese and ducks use those lakes as their toilets. So they have to be tested for E. coli and other bacteria that are harmful to not only other animals, but humans. So, well, we can't include humans in that. But we definitely do have to test these. But we're not allowed to kill these things en masse. You know, we can't. Because environmentalist wackos say it's a bad thing to do. We can't control their population. Sure, you can hunt duck and geese, you know, during season. But otherwise, no. So this idea, this notion that the Fed, Department of Agriculture, is at least sponsoring the killing of thousands upon thousands of birds in order to protect dairy cows, in order to protect and thus protect humans, is a bad thing, which is why it's buried. This story is buried on a page that nobody's going to go to, on a website that nobody's probably, you know, most people probably have never heard of. But this is what we're talking about, because they're not covering this in the lamestream media, because this would directly harm Barack Obama and his administration. Wait a minute, I thought Barack Obama was the messiah for the environment. He was going to lower the level of the seas. He was going to stop global warming and bring it back to, you know, the climate back to its perfect state. That we've always known that the current climate is the perfect climate for this planet. And that once it got to this climate, it was never, ever going to change unless man did something to it. Oh, yeah. Look, folks. Don't doubt me on this one. Look, Obama is going to take some. Is going to once this gets out, Obama's rightfully his administration is rightfully so going to take some heat, but he probably won't, because what Obama will do is he'll just claim, well, I read it on the same website you did. I didn't know, and now that I know, I'll look into it and try to stop it, because I didn't know. I know it's my administration, but, you know, I don't run the country. I find out everything from the media, just like you.
Come on. on down to the newest pub in Texas, Rednecks, where our beer kegs are always full. Don't ask what brand it is, because it all tastes like warm piss. So if you're celebrating a special occasion like marrying your sister, or being named Employee of the Month at Walmart, you're going to want to come celebrate with us at Rednecks Bar and Cantina. And remember, every Friday and Saturday, we have our famous tooth contest. Whoever has the most teeth wins a pair of John Deere mud flaps and a buttery corn on the cob. There's plenty of parking space to drive your house over to Rednecks and come on in and have a hell of a time. We're located right next to Big Al's truck stop, right across the street from the KKK headquarters.
Homos and minorities not welcome.
In a world where beer is served warm and flat, there is only one hope for beer drinkers. The Wooden Tap Bar and Grill presents Perfect Tap, an epic invention that ensures your favorite draft beer tastes better here than it does anywhere else. Critics call Perfect Tap mesmerizing. This is the way draft beer is supposed to taste. If you drink just one beer this year, make sure it comes from Perfect Tap. Now pouring exclusively at all four Wooden Tap locations. Wooden Tap! Come as you are.
Ripper the Clown may be a cartoon character come to life, but you trust him with your votes on November 4th? Ripper the Clown wants to be mayor, sheriff, comptroller, and senator of Ripper County, but in a recent debate, he admitted that he didn't even know what a comptroller was. And then he offered free gas cards and fast food gift certificates to anyone who voted for him. He also offered free autographed copies of his new award-winning zombie novel, The Life and Mimes, and Zombie Apocalypse of Ripper the Clown for those who cast votes in his favor. These are all violations of America's occasionally enforced voting laws. Do you want this inexperienced and sneaky clown with his finger on the button? Don't vote for Ripper the Clown. Paid for by people who hate Ripper the Clown. The people who hate Ripper the Clown are responsible for the content of this ad.
Let's talk about Bob Sweeney, Lambert, Bentonhausen, Kavanaugh, Rope Puller, Havisham, McDougal, Subway, Bentley, Kavanaugh, Buffalo, Nickel, Jones, Rosenberg, Radio Frequency, Smith. What do you know? Did you know that he's a naval hero? He single-handedly fought the Battle of Trafalgar in the waiting pool at the community center, freeing us from French tyranny. Did you know that he's an adventurer? Fighting the elements, he climbed Mount Everest in the frozen food section of the local grocery store to prove that anyone can achieve their dreams. He's a humanitarian. He found another cure for smallpox when, on a rainy day, climbed his aluminum ladder to the power lines to rescue a stray sperm whale. An energy pioneer, he discovered an unyet-named natural resource when he chewed the gum from underneath all the tables at the local pizza joint. And did you know that the only salary he takes is a few pieces of string, peat moss, and the occasional crow feather? Naval hero, adventurer, humanitarian, energy pioneer, and philanthropic volunteer. That's Bob Sweeney, Lambert, Bentonhausen, Kavanaugh, Rook Pillar, Havisham, McDougal, Subway, Bentley, Kavanaugh, and Buffalo, Nickel, Jones, Rosenberg, Radio Frequency, Smith. On Tuesday, remember to punch number 7 and vote for Bob Sweeney, Lambert, Bentonhausen, Kavanaugh, Rope Puller, Havisham, McDougal, Subway, Bentley, Kavanaugh, Buffalo, Nickel, Jones, Rosenberg, Radio Frequency, Smith for Village Idiot. He's what this city needs to feel better in the eyes of the world.
Paid for by the friends of Bob Sweeney, Lambert, Bentonhausen, Kavanaugh, Rope Puller, Havisham, McDougal, Subway, Bentley, Kavanaugh, Buffalo, Nickel, Jones, Rosenberg, Radio Frequency, Smith.
646. It's 649-0004. That's 646-649-0004. If you wish to join me here live and speak to yours truly, your lovable host, L. Rod, here on the Rod Echols Show, as we continue on. Hines, John Kerry, the illustrious Secretary of State, John Kerry, not another John Kerry from, say, Podunk, Mississippi, or Podunk, Iowa, or Podunk, New Hampshire, or Podunk, California, but John Kerry of Podunk, Washington, D.C., is about to potentially reap a bit. Now, he's going to reap a benefit through his wife, Teresa Hines. And it is she's one of the wealthiest women in the country. Not a slouch when it comes to the fiscal attributes. And it is amazing the hypocrisy of the left. It's unbelievable the hypocrisy of the left. You know, we the people, you know, if we decide that we're going to be, let me break this down for you. We the people are looked down upon by the left for being rich, wealthy, financially secure. And they try to foist this class warfare on us by trying to pit the so-called rich against the rest of us. You know, forget the fact that the so-called poor, which seems to grow every year under the Obama administration, is actually causing a drain on this country, both the middle class and the rich class, wealthy class, if you want to call them that. But they can't even decide at what level you are rich. Now, I always ask this question. Well, how much money does it take to be rich? And you can get answers from all over the place. Well, you know, I've heard in the past 2 years, now understand, 24 months, 2 years, different answers, and it has gone as low as, well, you know, I guess if you make $60,000 a year, you're rich. Well, I can tell you for a fact that people earning $60,000 do not believe that they are rich, and indeed, they are not, at least not by Western and United States standards. Now, a person making 60 grand a year, and if you plop them down in the middle of Bangladesh, yeah, they're one of the wealthiest people in that country. But we're talking the United States here. And in a lot of cities, major cities like Chicago, L.A., New York, Boston, Miami, 60 grand is not even in the upper echelons of the middle class. You're barely getting by. And you're making 60 grand in New York City, and if you're single, you're probably shacking up with a roommate in order to be able to afford the rent every month. I'm not kidding. Go price rental property, an apartment in New York City. Unless, of course, you know you want to move into a bad neighborhood, like in Queens or Brooklyn or, you know, something like that. But if you want to live in Manhattan, or if you want to live in Long Island or certain parts of Brooklyn, you know, rent is easily over $2,000 a month for a one bedroom. And we're not talking, you know, like 600 square feet. So $60,000, you know, before taxes is only $5,000 a month. Now, you're already spending $2,000 on your rent. Okay, that leaves you $3,000, you think. Until you realize, well, no, the person's got to pay federal income tax, the state income tax, and if you're living in New York City or working in New York City, you got to pay New York City's income tax. So that $3,000 quickly dwindles. And now you're talking about having, you know, if you have a vehicle, oh my God, now you got to pay for the parking of that. Or if you don't have a vehicle, well, you still have to pay for transportation. So you got to use transportation, your food cost, you know, other expenses. It's not cheap. $60,000 in New York City does not go far. Now, by comparison, $60,000 in, say, Kentucky will go very far. So this whole notion that there is a single level, and this is the problem with with graduated income tax on a federal level. The main problem is that it's anti-constitutional. I know some people say it's unconstitutional because they didn't ratify that amendment properly. That's been argued, you know, I don't know how many times and umpteen times, but the Supreme Court, I know, doesn't always mean that it is constitutional if the Supreme Court says it is, but the Supreme Court said it, that it was. The income tax is constitutional. But let's get moving past that. On a flat level, because it has to be the same for everybody on a federal level. So it doesn't have the same impact as, say, somebody living in Kentucky as somebody who's living in Illinois or New York or California. The cost of living in those places is astronomical compared to the cost of living in, say, Kentucky or Iowa or northern Michigan. It's not the same. But you're going to tax everybody at 23% or 20%, whatever your rate is. So it's going to be the same for everybody. But the effect and the impact is not going to be the same. So what is rich? Well, I've heard as low as 60 grand, but we've even had the Obama administration, when they were campaigning in 2007-2008, that they couldn't agree. You had Obama saying, $250,000 is rich. And you had Biden, who couldn't even decide. $250,000 is rich. And then he's out speaking somewhere else, and he says, $150,000 is rich. Well, which is it? I mean, the administration can't agree on what level rich is. But I can tell you this, that if you're living in places that, like San Francisco, $150,000 is probably about middle class compared to a lot of places in the rest of the country because of the cost of living. But, federal income tax does not take that into account. So we the people, we're supposed to feel bad for being rich. Now, understand this. They also think that rich people are only rich because they inherited their money. Well, that's also not true for the majority of so-called rich people. Sure, there are people with old money, and a lot of that old money is where? It's in Congress in Washington, D.C. Teresa Hines, anybody? We've had congressmen and governors and senators with the last names, Getty and Rockefeller, old money. But we have a lot of people who are the so-called nouveau rich, the new rich. And a lot of it comes from directly or indirectly because of the internet explosion. Look, you got what's he worth now? Mark Zuckerberg. Well, obviously, his parents were not rich. Sure, they were probably comfortable. They could afford to send him to Harvard, but they weren't rich. Well, I by some standards, they were not rich. And his parents are still alive, so he definitely didn't inherit anything yet. But yet the man is worth far more than his parents are worth. What was the last estimate? What, he's worth $9 billion or something like that? And how did he get there? By Facebook. But I guess because, Zuckerberg is a friend and supporter of Obama and the left, that's okay. But he isn't the only one that became Facebook. There are a lot of people, including people who did not found the company, that were not involved in the startup of the company. We're talking employees. Yeah, most of them are early employees, were hired in the first few years of the company's existence, but still, they and others like them in other electronic and high-tech companies and internet companies are fueling the increase or a spike in home values in the San Francisco and in that greater Silicon Valley area. And they're young. Many of them are under the age of 35 still. And they're buying up homes and causing the increase. They're the liberal ones, so it's okay for them to be rich. But for the rest of us, oh, no, no, no. It's not. We got to pay our fair share. But I guarantee you, every wealthy, no matter how you define it, they hire accountants to get them every last.
Hello, hello. Are we back?
There we go. I have no idea if you may need to. I should be back now. Okay, here we go. We're back on track. And they think, you know, BTR thinks they can take me off my game. But no, they can't. So the rich are out there, and they're claiming that you shouldn't be rich. And yet, you know, the left, they're getting richer. And here's the deal. This is a Reuters story, a Reuters report, Reuters.com. Heinz deal for Kraft expands food empire. And it expands for who? Buffett and 3G. Ketchup maker H.J. Heinz Company, backed by Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway, and Brazilian private equity firm 3G Capital will combine with Kraft Foods Group in a $46 billion deal to create the third largest North American food company, executives have said and released today. Shares of Kraft, known for its namesake macaroni and cheese in a box, as well as Velveeta, Maxwell House, and Oscar Mayer processed meats, closed up nearly 36% today. The deal gives Buffett more leading U.S. food brands, as well as that of 3G founder Jorge Paulo Leman, Brazil's wealthiest man. Now, the two teamed up to buy control of Heinz in 2013 and collaborated on the 2014 merger of fast food chain Burger King and Tim Hortons, which runs coffee and donut shops. Now, food industry experts are saying that they see Kraft benefiting from Heinz international presence, which generates more than 60% of its sales. Now, Kraft brands are 98% of North American households. So that means those who own Heinz and Kraft are going to get what? Richer. More wealthy. The story of the rich get richer, that is true. Money attracts money. They're going to get wealthier. What is the administration and the left going to say about this? Because this is John Kerry. Well, it's his wife. Now, don't get me wrong. No, Teresa Heinz does not run Heinz anymore. I don't think she ever did, but her family does not run Heinz. But they still have a lot of stock. I do believe that they still have a seat on the board. So they're going to benefit. John Kerry is going to benefit. But yet, they're going to still claim that the rich don't pay their fair share, and that actually the lefty actually doesn't even stop short of saying that, you know, if you want to be rich, you're an evil person. Because in order to get rich, you have to not earn it. You know, you can't earn your way to be rich. You can earn your way to be middle class, but you cannot earn your way to be rich, according to these leftist idiots. You know, you have to, once you get past earning middle class income, whatever that level is for them, then you start stealing it from everybody else. Because according to them, there's just a finite pie. There's only so much money and value out there, which is a crock, and everybody knows it. Because value is created every day. Has nothing to do with coinage. Has nothing to do with paper money, you know, and the government's ability to print it. It has everything to do with value, perceived and real. That's all. It's all you got. All it is just numbers in a ledger somewhere. Really, that's really what it is. It's keeping score, if you will. But no. They say that being rich is a bad thing, while they themselves are rich. And they're rich by anybody's standard, because, you know, what is it, the eight of the wealthiest 10 in Congress are Democrats. Now, how do you like those apples? Speaking of apples, for all you pop culture people out there, this is a sad story. Sad story. I know, but I cover the gamut. And I don't particularly eat at this venue anymore. Yeah, well, yeah, I let the cat out of the bag. It has to do with food because, you know, we're talking about Heinz. Well, this has really nothing to do with Heinz, but it's on the same vein. And I don't eat at this establishment. It's about Taco Bell. And I don't eat at Taco Bell because I choose not to, not because their tacos are not good, because actually, you know, their tacos are pretty good. I have a few reasons that I'm not going to share with why I do not eat at Taco Bell. I don't eat a lot of fast food anymore. Frankly, it's not all that healthy. And we think it's cheap, but when you actually start thinking about it and pricing it out, it's really not that cheap. I mean, what is it for a Whopper meal or Big Mac meal at Burger King, McDonald's, respectively? You know, it's almost $10, right? Like $8 or $9 after you add. Well, you can go to a sit down restaurant chain and get lunch for that. You know, and get real food. Well, what we like to think is real food. Versus what you get at Burger King or McDonald's or any of the fast food chains. But I don't eat at Taco Bell, as I don't really eat fast food that often. But Taco Bell, for those of you that do eat at Taco Bell, Taco Bell's Biscuit Taco is its new hope for breakfast because it's discontinuing the Waffle Taco. That's right. The Waffle Taco at Taco Bell is out. And the new Biscuit Taco is in. Now, I don't even want to know what's in the Biscuit Taco. It doesn't really sound appetizing. But, you know, who am I? If you want to eat there, go eat at Taco Bell, you know. Anybody remember the 1998 Godzilla Taco Bell commercials with the little chihuahua? You know, I love those commercials. They should bring back those commercials. Hey, Godzilla, you want something to drink? And you get a Taco Bell. Gotta love those. Yeah, classic commercials. But if you like Taco Bell and if you like the Waffle Taco, you better go get it while they still have it because they're not going to have it for much longer. And continuing on the pop culture theme, yeah, most of you probably have heard that I don't know what one of the One Direction band members has decided to just quit. Yeah, he just he went home. I don't know. I guess he had a breakdown or meltdown or he was homesick. I don't know what the reason was, but I just heard he quit. He quit he's not going to be back. I guess he quit. Like done, finite, done forever. Goodbye, sayonara. You know, left the stage for the last time. And the reason why I know this is because it was on radio, all over the radio today, and the different stations that I listened to. And they were, in the morning shows, they were even asking people what they thought about it, and their fans were actually, like, bawling on the air. I can't believe it. I hope he comes back. And I understand that, what's his name, Harry? You know, the weird one. Well, I don't. Well, yeah, he's the weird one, right? What's his last name? Jeez, I should know this because I'm supposed to know all of pop culture. Styles. Harry Styles. Yes, here it is. Harry Styles, according to this report, in Asia on stage, he broke down crying and begged for what's his Zayn to come back. I guess I don't know, and that just caused the crowd to. All those teeny bopper girls in the crowd to start crying and bawling. Yeah, come back. We can cry and feel such devastation from a pop culture personality leaving a group. He's not dead. He just decided to move on to something else, I guess. I don't know. But we're not crying en masse over losing a soldier in battle, or in battle rehearsals, or in real battle. We're not seeing, cries over people being shot in the street for no reason. Drive-by shootings, what have you. We're not seeing anybody cry over them except for family members. But people read this news and it's well, that's life. Well, no, that's not what life should be. You shouldn't walk out your door one day and not return home. You shouldn't be a healthy person and walk out your door, say goodbye to your family and your loved ones, going to work, and then not return home. And then when you don't return home, it is reported in the news that you don't return home because you're dead. And everybody just thinks you're a footnote. But God forbid this stupid kid from this boy band decides that he quits and just wants to enjoy life instead of enduring the pressure and all the fans clobbering him or whatever have you. And they just have a conundrum and a hissy fit and fall out bawling all the time. This is disgusting, to tell you the truth. But this is where our society, worldwide society, by the way, not just here in the U.S., this is where our societies are heading. We're all into pop culture because I guess pop culture makes us feel good. I don't know how pop culture is making us feel good because we're always changing what we think is before, beauty was, these wafer thin models and now they're Kim Kardashian-esque type of people, with big booties running around, and everybody wants to be like Kim, every girl wants to be like Kim Kardashian. Why? Why not be more like your mother? She birthed you and raised you. This pop culture stuff, it really does affect us on all levels, including a political level. Period. And that's not a good thing.
I'm a Democrat, and I'm running for President of the United States. My voting history shows that I've done everything I can to support our minority groups. I want to end the war against illegal immigration, because, after all, they're citizens too. However, my opponent rejects the idea of such acceptance. He's even been seen stopping Hispanics in the street and accusing them of being illegal. From drafting legislation to give free food stamps and welfare, to personally distracting the Border Patrol for easier passage, I am truly here for the people. And yes, it's true that I voted in favor of funding for Planned Parenthood. I not only advocate, but promote a woman's right to have an abortion. In fact, last week I personally aborted an entire class of third graders. Yet your Republican nominee has been seen at abortion clinics, yelling at rape victims, telling them it was the will of God to bear their child. He has no respect for anyone who isn't also a rich white man. Whereas I will give you all free health care, free food, and free abortions. Myself. He forces his religion on an entire nation, whereas I oppose religion in schools and in the home. He tries to portray a healthy marriage, but we all know that's really his sister. On November 6th, vote for a strong woman fighting for you, not an inbred Texan with a spoon-fed Harvard degree and stupid.
I'm your Democratic candidate, and I approve this message. Funded by Tampon, the American Minority Political Outreach Network.
Rob Stock. He's the biggest celebrity in the North. But his father was a traitor. He arrested his own mother. His bastard brother deserted the Night's Watch. And he couldn't defend his own castle. Worst of all, Robb Stark hasn't stopped the wildlings from invading our lands and taking our jobs. He even has an illegal alien for a nanny. And now he wants to be king in the North? King? Some people say he's really a wolf. Some people say he eats dead people. We can't wait until it's too late. Send a raven to Winterfell now and tell Robb Stark to go back home. Stop eating dead people and defend the damn wall.
This ad paid for by Crossbows GPS.
Daenerys Targaryen. She says she is the mother of dragons. But would you trust her with your kids? Her father was a maniac. She palled around with Dothraki terrorists. She asked the city of Karth for a government bailout. Then she lost three baby dragons after placing them in an unlocked wooden box. An unlocked wooden box! This Khaleesi wants to be Queen of the Seven Kingdoms, but can she be trusted? Daenerys Targaryen. Wrong for dragons. Wrong for the realm.
Paid for by the committee to protect dragons.
We don't know anything about him.
He was never really vetted.
Is he really the trueborn son of Robert Baratheon?
All over the Seven Kingdoms, people are asking the same question. Who is the real King Joffrey? The people of Westeros are hurting. Winter is coming. Crop yields are falling, and the price of fuel is going up.
The cost of peat moss is through the thatched roof.
And this young and inexperienced king takes advice from a whoremongering imp and has launched an illegal war in the North? What is King Joffrey hiding? This is not our kind of family values. King Joffrey. What a bastard.
What a bastard.
Paid for by the Young Baratheons for Freedom.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. We leave no warrior behind. Wounded Warrior Project is a non-profit organization created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war. Whether those scars are physical or mental, we're here to make sure that they heal. And whether it's helping those with post-traumatic stress disorder live a normal life again, or giving much-needed support to injured warriors and veterans hospitals. Because no one deserves our help more than the men and women who risk their lives to keep us safe. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
The following letters were written by our troops.
My dear fellow Americans, I truly appreciate your support. I was starting to wonder if people had forgotten about us over here, but then one of my buddies showed me this website, and now as tears are streaming down my face, I can see for sure that you haven't. Private Emily B., U.S. Army.
It's so heartwarming to see the American people not letting the men and women of the armed forces be forgotten. Your letters make a group of grown men, battle-hardened and gruff, act like a bunch of kids around a Christmas tree. Thanks. Staff Sergeant Matthew H., U.S. Army.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with inherent worth and dignity, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
to the newest pub in Texas, Rednecks, where our beer kegs are always full. Don't ask what brand it is, because it all tastes like warm piss. So if you're celebrating a special occasion like marrying your sister, or being named Employee of the Month at Walmart, you're going to want to come celebrate with us at Rednecks Bar and Cantina. And remember, every Friday and Saturday, we have our famous tooth contest. Whoever has the most teeth wins a pair of John Deere mud flaps and a buttery corn on the cob. There's plenty of parking space to drive your house over to Rednecks and come on in and have a hell of a time. We're located right next to Big Al's truck stop, right across the street from the KKK headquarters.
Homos and minorities, not welcome.
In a world where beer is served warm and flat, there is only one hope for beer drinkers. The Wooden Tap Bar and Grill presents Perfect Tap, an epic invention that ensures your favorite draft beer tastes better here than it does anywhere else. Critics call Perfect Tap mesmerizing. This is the way draft beer is supposed to taste. If you drink just one beer this year, make sure it comes from Perfect Tap. Now pouring exclusively at all four Wooden Tap locations. Wooden Tap! Come as you are.
Ripper the Clown may be a cartoon character come to life, but do you trust him with your votes on November 4th? Ripper the Clown wants to be mayor, sheriff, comptroller, and senator of Ripper County, but in a recent debate, he admitted that he didn't even know what a comptroller was. And then he offered free gas cards and fast food gift certificates to anyone who voted for him. He also offered free autographed copies of his new award-winning zombie novel, The Life in Mimes, and Zombie Apocalypse of Ripper the Clown for those who cast votes in his favor. These are all violations of America's occasionally enforced voting laws. Do you want this inexperienced and sneaky clown with his finger on the button? Don't vote for Ripper the Clown. Paid for by people who hate Ripper the Clown. The people who hate Ripper the Clown are responsible for the content of this ad.
Let's talk about Bob Sweeney, Lambert, Bentonhausen, Kavanaugh, Rope Puller, Havisham, McDougal, Subway, Bentley, Kavanaugh, Buffalo, Nickel, Jones, Rosenberg, Radio Frequency, Smith. What do you know? Did you know that he's a naval hero? He single-handedly fought the Battle of Trafalgar in the waiting pool at the community center, freeing us from French tyranny. Did you know that he's an adventurer? Fighting the elements, he climbed Mount Everest in the frozen food section of the local grocery store to prove that anyone can achieve their dreams. He's a humanitarian. He found another cure for smallpox when, on a rainy day, climbed his aluminum ladder to the power lines to rescue a stray sperm whale. An energy pioneer. He discovered an unyet-named natural resource when he chewed the gum from underneath all the tables at the local pizza joint. And did you know that the only salary he takes is a few pieces of string, peat moss, and the occasional crow feather? Naval hero, adventurer, humanitarian, energy pioneer, and philanthropic volunteer. That's Bob Sweeney, Lambert, Bentonhausen, Kavanaugh, Rook Pillar, Havisham, McDougal, Subway, Bentley, Kavanaugh, and Buffalo, Nickel, Jones, Rosenberg, Radio Frequency, Smith. On Tuesday, remember to punch number 7 and vote for Bob Sweeney, Lambert, Bentonhausen, Kavanaugh, Rope Puller, Havisham, McDougal, Subway, Bentley, Kavanaugh, Buffalo, Nickel, Jones, Rosenberg, Radio Frequency, Smith for Village Idiot. He's what this city needs to feel better in the eyes of the world.
Paid for by the friends of Bob Sweeney, Lambert, Bentonhausen, Kavanaugh, Rope Puller, Havisham, McDougal, Subway, Bentley, Kavanaugh, Buffalo, Nickel, Jones, Rosenberg, Radio Frequency, Smith.
Power of knowledge.
Nickel Show.
This Wednesday evening, this hump day evening, we are having Monday troubles here on the BTR network, which is why y'all need to all be here tomorrow for tomorrow's major announcement, and hopefully we'll belay and get rid of some of these technical issues that we have over here at BTR. It is what it is, and it ain't what it isn't, and it's probably not what it should be, so we have to do other things, and happily so. But I can't let the cat out of the bag yet. Just not ready yet. One more day, you'll have to wait. Tomorrow, all will be revealed to you. So if hopefully, you can hear the sound of my voice. Are you hearing the words that are coming out of my mouth? So I hope so. Hopefully it'll take care of the issues that we're having tonight. And if you missed my beautiful monologues in the past half hour, I truly am sorry, because they were beautiful. They were great. They were wonderful. They were just fantastic, if I do say so myself. Hey, the house. This is something that caught my attention, and this is from freedomworks.org, by the way. House introduced – this is something – that even the left was screaming about under George Bush, but went silent under Barack Obama. But conservatives all over, from sea to shining sea, from coast to coast, were decrying foul under Bush and decrying foul under Obama. Who the president was, they just didn't like the Patriot Act. But today, finally, according to FreedomWorks, the House introduces a bill to repeal the Patriot Act. Yes, Representative Mark Pocan, P-O-C-A-N, a Democrat out of Wisconsin, the home of Scott Walker, and Representative Thomas Massey, Republican representative from Kentucky, have introduced the Surveillance State Repeal Act. Don't you like the title of that? Surveillance State Repeal Act. That would end the NSA's unconstitutional domestic spying program. And according to FreedomWorks, they're saying that this bill is in fact the real deal. It is not window dressing. Now, we all know that we know how bad the Patriot Act is, and a lot of conservatives have chastised George W. Bush for wanting it and for signing it into law. It was not necessary to spy on your own citizen, to strip away some of their constitutional rights. And we saw a lot. Look, they tried telling us that the Patriot, this is only going to be used to try to catch terrorists that want to do the homeland harm. And we know, because that it was used for far more than that, because we've seen court cases where, rightfully so, constitutional abiding judges on all federal levels, basically, except for the Supreme Court, were tossing out certain cases that came before them because they violated an individual's constitutional rights. And, one of the most blaring cases was they were using satellite tracking technology in order to, without a warrant, in order to track down people who were buying and selling pot. There was a particular case that I do remember, and I can't remember where. I think it was out in California before. It was on the west, the left coast somewhere. It may have been Oregon, California. I can't really recall all the details, but I do remember this. It was a person who was arrested for growing pot. And how they caught him was that without a search warrant or a court order, the FBI placed tracking devices on his vehicle. Not only did they place tracking devices, but they recorded these devices, and they used also used other satellite technology to pinpoint this guy's, you know, habits. And they realized that he was going to a specific location in his car, and the car was stopped for a long period of time, but not as if he was going to a job for 4 or 8 hours a day. And they decided to follow up and see, well, where is he parking? Why is he parking there? So then they went out there and they found basically a pot or marijuana farm, which they then arrested the person. And, you know, a judge, rightfully so, threw out the case and his conviction because it was an unconstitutional search and seizure case. And now the FBI tried to say, well, you know, hey, this guy, his car was, you know, on public property, was out in public. The problem was that they had to enter onto his property to go into his driveway in order to place the bugs or tracking devices on his vehicle. Now, first of all, that's private property that they went onto. Second of all, they attached these devices to private property, his car. And the judge said, no, you can't do that. And they were trying to claim the Patriot Act gave them the constitutional right to do that. And the judge threw it out still, saying, no, it does not. The Patriot Act does not and is not intended to deprive American citizens of their constitutional rights. Now, that was a glaring case of how the Patriot Act was being used to do things other than prevent terrorist acts against the United States and its citizens. Which is why a lot of people, when this bill was being discussed and, you know, George Bush was pushing to have it passed through the House and Senate, a lot of conservatives were saying, no, it is going to be a disaster for the Constitution. And indeed, it has been. And so now, finally, we have a bill that is being introduced into the House that is going to repeal it. Now, it is far from a fait accompli because, first of all, it has to pass in the House. No guarantee there, even though the Republicans control the House. It has to pass the Senate. Again, no guarantee there, even though Republicans control the Senate. And it is going to be an uphill battle to get a veto-proof vote. Because, you know, the president, President Obama, is going to veto it. Why? Because this is a guy who, even though he campaigned against it and said it was a terrible idea because George Bush did it, who doubled down on it when it was up to be renewed. And not only did he double down on it, he wanted it to be a permanent law, not one with a sunset. He wanted the law to be expanded to increase its power, thus reducing your constitutional rights even further. He didn't get all that he wanted, but he got enough where the Patriot Act has more teeth in it now than it did under George W. Bush. So if Obama was trying to campaign to get Congress to pass an even stronger Patriot Act bill, do you think he is now going to turn around and sign a bill that gets rid of it? I'm going to go out on a limb and say absolutely not. He's not. Because he's all about destroying and shredding the Constitution. And he's doing it every day on multiple fronts. And in some cases, he might be winning. And I'm not just talking, you know, questionable executive orders. I'm talking about setting legal precedents in courts of law. But I digress, because we shouldn't be worried about the Patriot Act, because after all, it's all about protecting you and me, right? You know, protecting the homeland, protecting the citizenry of this country. That's what it's all about. That's what they keep telling us, right? It's all about making sure that the American way of life is, you know, prevails. Well, isn't that funny? Because you're actually taking away the American way of life while you're claiming to preserve it. You know, it's the old, well, you know, we're going to violate the Constitution so we can protect it. Well, that makes absolutely no sense. We're going to, you know, restrict your rights as American citizens so we can protect your rights as American citizens. That makes no sense. But that's exactly what they're doing, exactly what they're saying. You know, we're going to corrupt and change the American way of life so we can preserve and save the American way of life. Now, that makes absolutely no sense. But yet and still, this is what our federal government is doing, and this is their reasoning that they're giving us for them doing what they are doing. Which is why many Americans are getting fed up with the federal government. The federal government has become too big, too powerful, too demanding, too restrictive, and Americans don't like it. Well, of course you're going to have some on the far left that like it, because they're not about freedom anyway. They're not about choice. They're not about, you know, you living your life. They're about rule, not governance, but rule and control. Yes, there is a difference between ruling and governing. Monarchs and dictators, they rule. Presidents and prime ministers and governors are supposed to govern. In other words, governing means that you do the will of the people and you follow the laws that the people have established for you to follow. Rulers do whatever the hell they want, whenever they want, to whomever they want. Plain and simple. Now, hey, if a ruler decides that you haven't paid enough in taxes, well, he's just going to come and take your house, which happens a lot in this country. IRS knocks on somebody's door, takes their possessions from the house, or locks up the house and kicks the owner out and says, you know what? You didn't pay enough in taxes, so we're going to auction your house and its contents so we can get your tax money. So in other words, they're saying, you don't own what you own. The government owns it, and you know, we're coming to take it back. It's our collateral. That was never intended, especially by the founding fathers. Oh, you know, I know all of them, all of them. All of them that signed the Declaration of Independence and all of them that signed the original Constitution, they're all rolling in their graves right now, looking down, you know, from heaven or whatever afterlife is out there, looking at us and thinking, this is not what we gave you. This is not the country, the government that we gave you. Plain and simple. There is no, look, they went to war. Understand this, folks. Our founding fathers went to war against the English crown for crimes that, well, what they considered to be crimes far less criminal than what's going on today. You know, one of the main reasons, not the only reason, but one of the reasons that they went to war against the crown was because of unfair taxation and taxation without representation. What do we have today? Unfair taxation, and really, it's not representative because the American people usually say, we don't look at the state of Massachusetts. There was a vote back in the 90s where the citizenry of Massachusetts wanted their income tax lowered, and they voted for such. Overwhelmingly so. It passed by like more than 60 points. You know, 60%, over 60% in favor of lowering the state of Massachusetts income tax. And what did the legislature do? Oh, No. You people don't know what you're doing. They overrode the people by passing a law that raised the income tax level again. Look it up if you don't believe me. It really happened in the state of Massachusetts. And this is that taxation with representation? No, that's taxation without representation, even though we do get to elect our officials. same thing is happening on the federal level. You know, we keep electing people and telling them most of the time, go to Washington, D.C., lower our taxes, reduce the size of government, and get government out of our lives. And what happens is the direct opposite. We keep getting more taxes, increases in existing taxes, more government regulation, more government intrusion into our daily lives. But it's not what we're voting for. So one could argue we have taxation again without representation. It'd be hard to argue that that is a false narrative, considering what is going on right now and what has been going on for at least the past 40 or 50 years. And this is one reason why so many people get so discouraged about voting. This is why they say there's no difference between the parties today. They're one and the same. This is why conspiracy theorists, I call them theorists actually, are growing in number. It's why they believe in the so-called Bilderberg and Rothschilds and Illuminati and skull and bone groups that are trying to dominate. That's why they believe in a growing number that there are Zionist bankers that are trying to rule the world. That's why they believe all these conspiracies, because they have looked at their own votes go for naught. They elect people who say they're going to do one thing, they get into office, and then totally ignore their constituents and do something totally opposite. Read my lips. No new taxes. And what is one of the things that George Bush did that got him fired as president? He agreed to raise taxes. People elected him because he said he was not going to raise taxes. In other words, they were telling George Herbert Walker Bush, yes, we like your message, not to raise taxes. And then he raised taxes. So is that taxation without representation? Abso-freaking-lutely. Yeah, look, decide for yourself. That is the case. I don't care which party you're talking about, because members of both parties have done it. George Herbert Walker Bush, Republican, a Reagan Republican at that. Democrats, same thing. You know, most of them are all for raising taxes. They claim it's raising taxes on the rich, but make no mistake about it, they raise taxes on all of us. Poor, middle class, rich, doesn't matter. They just want more money from you. And it's not the fact that they want more money from you. They believe that all money that is created in this country belongs to the government, and they're just letting you keep some of it. And they try to chastise you and shame you if you want to pay less in taxes. And then you get the radical left that just, you know, oh you're rich. Rich or greedy. And you should share your wealth with everybody. I'm so sorry for all the pain I've caused Oklahoma U. He makes his forgiveness public, his apology public. He basically says, I'm so sorry for all the pain I caused. Well, look, I mean, that should be enough for liberals, right? You know, hey, you apologize, you appear to be sincere, because after all, who are we to determine if you're sincere or not? We can't, according to liberals, we can't determine that, you know, we should just take you at your word at face value. So face value is, you know, he gave a press conference, this young man, and he even appears at the podium, press conference, with black people, and he says, I'm sorry. I that must be enough for liberals now, but He doesn't reveal who taught him the song that they were, or the chant that they were chanting. Look, I've already weighed in on this whole thing, and I think it's a non-issue. It's diverting us from more important issues in this country. And, you know, college students, they're young. They do and say stupid things all the time. You and I, in college, when our college age, we did and said stupid things. To this day, many of us, most of us, probably regret some of the stupid things we did and said when we were college age. It's just part of life and growing up in this country, plain and simple. And I don't think it's really much different in many countries around the planet, that young people, because they're inexperienced, they just do and say stupid things. It's part of growing up. I think it always has been that way. Now, granted, most stupid things that we do and say today don't end in our death, like it did back in so-called caveman days. But, you know, hey, we still do and say stupid things. So is this young man, Levi Pettit, and of course, you know, they always say, well, he grew up in a wealthy suburb of Dallas, Texas. So, yeah, there's, first of all, he's Southern. Second of all, he grew up in a wealthy suburb. Now, I don't know what wealthy suburb in Dallas is. You know, is it a neighborhood of million-dollar-plus mansions, or is it, you know, just a row of homes that cost, you know, $400,000 or $500,000? It doesn't say in the stories that I'm reading. Don't know. It's irrelevant, actually, but they, you know, this obviously the lamestream media thought it was important to know, for us to know that he grew up in what they consider to be a wealthy suburban neighborhood in Dallas, Texas. But is he sincere? I don't know. But he did say that he was sorry. And according to the left, that should be enough, right? That should be enough. You decide. I'm Rod Eccles. Be here tomorrow for a major, major, huge announcement. Until then, this has been the Rod Eccles Show, and I'm out.